ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిహి ఓం. సదాశివ సమారంభాం శంకరాచార్య మధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం సద్గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. బ్రహ్మసూత్ర చాప్టర్ 2 అవిరోధ అధ్యాయ స్మృత్యధికరణ. స్మృతి అనవకాశ దోష ప్రసంగ ఇది చేత అన్యస్మృత్యనవకాశదోష ప్రసంగాత్ ఇతరేషాంచ అనుపలబ్ధేః యోగ ప్రత్యుక్తధికరణం. ఏతేన యోగః ప్రత్యుక్తః విలక్షణత్వాధికరణం. అభిమాని వ్యపదేశస్తు విశేష అనుగతిభ్యాం దృశ్యతే తు అసదితి చేత్ న ప్రతిషేధమాత్రత్వాత్. The seventh sutra of the third adhikaranam of the first pada of the second chapter, known as Vailakshana Adhikaranam. And in this adhikaranam, the Sankhya philosopher tries to point out a logical defect in Vedantic teaching of creation, srishti. And we pointed out that Sankhya's theory of creation is inappropriate and pradhanam or prakriti cannot be the cause of creation. On the other hand, we said Brahman alone is the cause of creation. And now Sankhya says, if you take this way, you will have some logical problem. So to reveal this logical problem, he raises some logical questions also. And he himself suggests certain answers without even waiting for our answer. And he says that those answers will not be logically satisfactory. That means the alleged answer will not be proper. He is answering for us. And he himself says those answers will not be logically satisfactory. That means the alleged answer will not be proper. And he raises the question, if the Nirgunam Brahma is the cause of creation, tell me, before creation originated, universe was potentially existent in Brahman or not? This is Sankhya's question. Before creation originated, universe was potentially existent in Brahman or not? And he says, if you say that the creation existed potentially, then you will have the problem of Advaita Hanihi. Advaita Hanihi. Because there is an existent Brahman and an existent world also. So Brahman and world, there are two things. Advaita Hani Doshaha Bhaveta. And the acceptance of the existence of the world before creation is technically called Satkarya Vadaha. This we have seen earlier also. And Sankhya philosopher says, if you become a Satkaryavadi and accept a potential world before creation, then you will have the problem of Advaita Hani. And therefore, what you have to do? You have to give up the Satkaryavada to remain an Advaitin. And now he says, if you give up Satkaryavada, then you have got only one other alternative. That is, you should become a Satkaryavadi. He does not know that there is a third choice. Asatkarya Vada, what is that? Before creation, the world was not existent in Brahman and there is no problem of Dvaitam at that time. That is the charge he gives in this sutra. Asat iti chet. Then you have to end up as an Asatkarya Vadi. Asat iti chet. There was nothing. It was not existent. And Advaitin's problem is that can't say he is an Asatkaryavadi because he does not want to accept Asatkaryavada at all. Advaitin doesn't want to accept Asatkaryavada at all because it will have too many logical problems. In fact, it will be worse than Satkaryavada. Of course, the logical problem is not discussed here in this sutra. We have to note, as an aside point only here, we cannot take shelter in Asatkaryavada because if you say world was non-existent before creation, then we have to accept the origination of a non-existent world. And that is against the scientific theory of the law of conservation of matter and energy. Nothing can be created out of nothing. The matter cannot originate out of nothing. Energy cannot originate out of nothing. It is against the law of conservation. And therefore, Asat Karyavada also we do not accept. But the Sankhya philosopher, he dubs as Asat Karyavadi. He dubs us as Asat Karyavadi, for which Vyasacharya gives this answer here, saying, I don't say world is Asat also, potentially non-existent also. I don't say that. Then again he asks, do you say the world is existent before creation? No. We also don't say that world is existent before creation also. Then our answer is, world is as though existent, in quotes, as though existent before creation, and therefore it does not come under either existent category or non-existent category. World is seemingly existent before creation in Brahman. Then what about now? Now also the world is seemingly existent only. That is, before creation also world was seemingly existent, and after creation also world is seemingly existent. I am neither Satkaryavadi nor Asatkaryavadi. And what is the difference between the world seemingly existent before creation and world seemingly existent after creation? And our answer is, before creation, the world is seemingly existent in unmanifest form. And after creation, the world is seemingly existent in manifest form. And the final point is, after Srishti, after creation, since Mithya Prapancha is Vyaktam or manifest, Mithya Prapancha is Vyaktam or manifest, we talk about creation in addition to Brahman, not because it is Satyam, but because it is Vyaktam, it is manifest. Before creation, it is Mithya only. And we cannot talk about Mithya Prapancha because it is Avyaktam. Before it was Avyakta Mithya, and it is now Vyakta Mithya. Before it was unmanifest, now it is manifest. Since Mithya Prapancha is Avyaktam, we need not talk about it. It is Avyaktam. And hence we say Brahman is the cause of creation. What we should have perhaps said is what? Brahman plus Avyakta Mithya Prapancha. But what is Avyaktam, we do not say. That was all. So it is like what? We don't say, for example, in milk, there is potential butter. Milk having butter in potential form is a fact. We know. And hence, we do not explicitly say that fact. What is Avyaktam, we don't talk about. When we see, for example, clay, we don't say we see clay and potential pot in it. This potential Mithya Prapancha will neither come under Sat or Asat. You cannot allege me that I have become an Asat Karyavadi. That is our contention. So cosmology is what? Is the study of origin of creation of the world. And we have three cosmological theories. What are those? Number one, Satkaryavada of Nyaya philosophy, Asatkaryavada of Sankhya philosophy, and Mithya Prapancha of Advaita philosophy. All these three should be in our fingertips to enjoy this actually particular discussion. We have discussed actually in Mandukya Karika also chapter 3. And this topic will come repeatedly later also. And Vyasacharya wants to teach Vedanta. Not only he wants to teach it, but also he wants to show the difference between the Sankhya, Nyaya, and Vedanta. There is one difference in the theory of creation. All of them, they believe many atmas are there. There are so many other differences also. And in Brahma Sutra, Vyasacharya, he focuses one difference, that is the cosmological difference in the theory of cosmological difference. Now let us go to the word analysis of this sutra. Asaditi chet na pratishedha matratvat. That is a sutra. Asat. Asat means the universe must be non-existent before its creation. Asat. Asatva idam agra asit. The universe must be non-existent before its creation. Iti chet. If it is argued in this manner, the answer is na. It is not so. Why? Pratishedha matratva. Because of your statement is a mere negation without validity. Yeah, telling Sankhya. Your statement is a mere negation only without validity. Mere negation is in the sutra. That we have to, rest we have to supply. So universe must be non-existent before creation. If it is argued thus, it is not so because your statement is mere negation without validity. That is the meaning of the sutra. Now let us take the significance of the words, because this is the running meaning. Now we are going to see the significance of each of the words. Asat. Asat means non-existent. What is non-existent is Jagat, the world, universe. Asat means world is non-existent before its creation. So this essentially means Asat Karya Vada only. It was Asadva Idam Agri Asit. So it was before creation. Before that, it is Asat Karya Vada only. Who tells whom? The Sankhya says Vedanta Vada is Asat Karya Vada. He already branded us. Vedanta Vada is Asat Karya Vada. And why he concludes like that? Because in his mind, he thinks that there are two theories only are possible, the Satkarya Vada and Asatkarya Vada only. And Vedantins have negated Satkarya Vada, and therefore he has to come to Asatkarya Vada only according to the Sankhyas. So it is alleged Asatkarya Vada only. Up to this is what in the sutra? Up to this is the Purvapakshi Sankhyas view. Iti chet. Now, if such an allegation is made by Sankhya philosophers, we do not accept it. If it is alleged, it is not so. Iti chet na. And pratishedha matratvat. It is a mere negation only of the world. It means it is only alleged negation of the world and we have no proof. And we accept the world and we have not negated it. There is no evidence for the negation of the world at all. We accept the world. We accept Mithya world. Shankaracharya feels the vagueness of this sutra and he says that if you do not understand the significance of the sutra here, do not worry. We will thoroughly analyze it in detail in another adhikaranam, arambanadhikaranam. That is arambanadhikaranam in the same particular pada only. Down a few other sutras. So with this, the word analysis also over of this sutra. Now let us go to the next sutra. Apitau tadvat prasangatem asamanjasam. Apitau tadvat prasangate asamanjasam. This is the 8th sutra. We are in the second pada, second chapter, first pada, 8th sutra, 142nd Brahma Sutra. So a plausible explanation against Brahman being the cause of the world is raised here. This is a Purvapakshi Sutra. One is actually in Purvapaksha, we got three types of sutras. One is Kevala Purvapaksha Sutra, that is only Purvapaksha. Second is Kevala Vedanta Sutra, only Siddhanta Vedanta. And the third is Mishra Sutra, which has both Purvapaksha and the answer from the Vedanta. All three are there. And in Vedantic teaching, the Mishra Sutra will have Iti Chet Na. That is one way of identifying that. Iti Chet Na. That particular verbiage will be there. In Vedantic teaching, the Mishra Sutra will be indicated by that. It will have both Purvapaksha portion and Vedanta portion as well. And here it is a typical example of Vishvato Mukhatvam of the Sutra. And the significance of the Sutra is what? One and the same Sutra we can interpret differently by looking at it in different ways. And for this Sutra, the Purvapakshi is going to impute 4 doshas, not 1 or 2, 4 doshas on Vedanta. And we have to understand all the 4 doshas and negate each one of them separately. First, let us see the general analysis now. Here, the Sankhya philosopher is Purvapakshi, who charges Advaita in the context of Pralaya. Subject is his Pralaya. And the first dosha he says, During pralayam, all jivas will have to merge into Brahman, as according to you, Brahman is Jagatkar. So because it is Jagatkaranam, all jivas have to merge into Brahman during pralayam. So jivas are full of doshas, lot of punya papas. That means lot of defects they have. Punyam, papam, so many defects all jivas have. So if they don't have punya papa dosha, they will be Ishwara. But they all have punya papas. They are all full of punyas and papas. And when jivas merge into Brahman during pralayam, what will happen? All the punya papa doshas will pollute Brahman. Brahman will get polluted. It is like, if you take bath in Ganges river is supposed to remove all the papas. But what happens to it? It got all the doshas from everybody. It becomes impure. So Brahman is supposed to be Nitya Shuddha. It is ever pure. So in pralayam, Brahman will become Ashuddha, will become impure with the merger of all such jivas. This is one dosha. And second dosha, he says, is to avoid the first problem. You have to say that at the time of pralayam, not only jiva merges into Brahman and all the punya papa doshas also will merge into Brahman, and Brahman will not have any ashuddha or impurity at all. They all merge into Brahman. So if you say so, there'll be a problem. That is, if a punya papas, they are resolved, means they are resolved, they are not. All jivas then will get liberated. If there is any punya papa remaining only, then it may impurify them, Brahman, but they are gone. They are resolved during pralayam. So everybody can get liberated in pralayam without studying Vedanta. No need for any Vedanta teaching and classes. Then there'll be no more jagat, and recreation will not be there, because only when there are papa, punya papas, recreation is necessary. Neither the world will come, now the jivas will come. And when punya papa gets resolved, jivas, jagat will not emerge after pralayam at all. That means there will be no more creation. And then we have to then assume for the next creation, even with no punya papa, creation should come. We have to make then, this is going to be third dosha. And Sankhya says, if you say so, there is another problem. If all the jivas and the jagat will be reborn without punya papa, what will be the problem? Even liberated people, jnanis, will be born again, and liberation will have no meaning. So we say a liberated person is not reborn because he does not have any punya papa balance at all. And suppose you change your philosophy and jivas will be reborn even without punya papa, then even jivan muktas will be reborn again without punya papas, and mukti will have no useful meaning at all. This is the third dosha, alleged by the Purvapaksha. And the fourth dosha he points out is, to avoid this problem, you, the Advaitin, may give this reason. What is the reason? In pralaya kala, jiva does not merge into Brahman. Jivas continue to have their individuality, and punya papa will continue with jivas. Then the last answer you have to give is what? During pralayam, jivas do not merge into Brahman. And this possible also is not right, because Sankhya, he counters that if jivas do not merge into Brahman during pralayam also, there will not be difference between srishti, sthiti and pralayam. In all of them, they are like that only. Because during srishti, the jivas enjoy their individuality. During pralayam also, they continue to enjoy their individuality. Of course, during sthiti, of course, they are. So if the distinction of karyam, the effect, continues during pralayam also, you cannot differentiate sthiti and pralayam. Therefore, that answer also will not be correct. Therefore, what is our conclusion? There are four defects, and whatever answer you may give for all these defects, they are not satisfactory. Therefore, tava darshanam asamanjasam. That is what we can do. Tava darshanam asamanjasam. Your darshanam, your philosophy is improper. This is the general analysis of this sutra. Now let us go to word analysis. First, we will see the running meaning of the sutra and then go to the significance of the words. Tatvat prasangat, since Brahman becomes impure like the world, apitav, when at the time of pralaya or the great dissolution, apitihi means pralaye, at the time of dissolution. Asamanjasam, asamanjasam means is improper. We have to supply Vedantic teaching is improper. This is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of each word. Apitav, apitav means at the time of dissolution, resolution. Apitihi means hi, ikaranta strilingaha, apiti shabdaha, saptami bhakti. Ekavachanam, api plus hi dhatu, apye. The verbal form from the abstract noun, api iti apitihi. And here we don't have several meanings at all, one meaning only, that is pralaya. Apitihi refers to only pralaya. And the next word is tadvat prasangat. The word tadvat alone is interpreted differently. And prasangat also is interpreted differently to arrive at all these four doshas. We will see each one. In the first interpretation, what is that? Tadvat. Tadvat means karya prapanchavat, like the world. Prasangat. Prasangat means asuddhi dosha prasangat. That means at the time of pralayam, when karya prapancha merges into Brahman, just as the karya prapancha being impure, when it merges into Brahman, Brahman also will get impurities of karya prapancha, the world. That's the first meaning. Then the possible answer we have to supply. What is that? We have to say that. He says, you have to say that. All the punya papa doshas also are dissolved into Brahman. And if such an answer is given, then we have to reinterpret this. Tadvat prasanga means what? Tadvat. Tadman means karana brahmavate. So this is karana brahmavate. That is the from previous one and this one, we have to understand the difference in each one of them. So karana prapanchavate. Prasangat means punya papa abhava prasangat. Karana prasangavate. Punya papa abhava prasangat. There is no punya papa at all. Abhava. What does it mean? When karya prapancha totally dissolves into Brahman, that the world totally dissolves into Brahman, when? During pralayam, punya papa also merges into Brahman and jivas also merge into Brahman, then what happens? The creation has totally lost its individuality. And punya papa and all those details, doshas, and all of them, they are lost, and therefore it will become totally like Brahman only without even potential punya papa, and that is the dosha. How? If all the punya papas are dissolved, what will happen? The problem will be punar utpatti will not come, recreation cannot happen. So or muktana utpatti will come for people who are muktas, jnanis, jivan muktas. For them, or even Videha Muktas, for them also, they will be reborn. Both these doshas will come. So punya papa abhava prasangate, and punya papa abhava has got two defects within itself. What are those? If punya papas are absent, creation cannot come again. And without punya papa, if creation comes, then liberated people also will be recreated. That is, the liberation will have no meaning. Then comes the next interpretation. Tadvat. Tadvat means sthitivat. Prasangat. Prasangat here means vibhaga prasangat. Division. What is the dosha? Suppose to avoid all these problems, you say that jivas do not merge into Brahman at the time of pralaya. Then what will happen? As in the case of sthiti, jiva will be different from Brahman. So karya karana vibhaga, that distinction will continue. The difference between the effect and the cause, that distinction will continue at the time of pralayam also. And as at the time of creation, that means there will be no difference between creation and pralayam. Normally, based on, you know, what we talk of difference between creation and pralayam, during creation, jivas, they stand separately. Karyam stands separately, and during resolution, karyam merges into karana. This is normally the practice. If karyam does not merge into karanam, there will be no distinction between sthiti and layam. They will be same. And therefore, sthiti vathu karya karana yoho vibhaga dosha prasangat. Because of these four doshas, what are these four doshas? Brahmanaha, అశుద్ధి ప్రసంగాత్ బ్రహ్మన్ విల్ గెట్ ఇంప్యూర్. ప్రపంచస్య అనుత్పత్తి ప్రసంగాత్ సెకండ్ వన్ ఇస్ ప్రపంచ కెనాట్ బి రీబార్న్ అండ్ ముక్తానాం పునరుత్పత్తి ప్రసంగాత్ ఈవన్ జీవన్ముక్తాసు బి రీబార్న్ అండ్ ఫోర్త్ స్థితి ప్రళయయో అభేద ప్రసంగాత్ దర్ విల్ బి నో డిస్టింక్షన్ బిట్వీన్ స్థితి అండ్ ప్రళయం. సో వేదాంత దర్శనం అసమంజసం, వేదాంత దర్శనం ఇస్ ఇంప్రాపర్ ఇస్ ది కన్క్లూషన్. హూ సేస్? సాంఖ్యా ఫిలాసఫర్ సేస్. ఫార్ విచ్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు గివ్ ది ఆన్సర్. దట్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ ది నెక్స్ట్ సూత్ర దట్ వి విల్ రీడ్. నతు దృష్టాంత భావాత్, నతు దృష్టాంత భావాత్, ద నైన్త్ సూత్ర, సెకండ్ చాప్టర్ ఫస్ట్ సెక్షన్ 9 సూత్ర, 143rd రన్నింగ్ సూత్ర, బ్రహ్మసూత్ర. సో ది అబ్జెక్షన్ రేస్డ్ ఇన్ సూత్ర 8 ఇస్ రిఫ్యూటెడ్ హియర్. సో బై ద వర్డ్ తు ఇన్ ద సూత్ర, నా తు, దట్ తు, ద పాసిబిలిటీ ఆఫ్ ది అబ్జెక్షన్ ఇస్ సెట్ అసైడ్. సో ఫస్ట్ లెట్ అస్ డూ ఏ జనరల్ అనాలిసిస్ అండ్ దీస్ ఆర్ ది ఇంపార్టెంట్ పోర్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ వేదాంతి కాస్మాలజీ, దట్ ఈస్ అసత్కార్యవాద అండ్ సత్కార్యవాద. వాట్ ఈస్ అవర్ ఆన్సర్? Sankhya philosopher said, at the time of pralayam, the world merges into Brahman and you are not able to explain that merger. That is his allegation on us. Vedanta is not capable of explaining merger of world into Brahman. That is defective according to Sankhya philosopher. And the answer is what? Vedantins ask Sankhya philosopher, you talk of merger of world into Brahman as though there is a merger. He is asking him, Vedantins ask Sankhya's back, you talk of merger of world into Brahman as though there is a merger, as though in quotes. You think that Brahman and world are physically merging as the river going a long way to merge with the ocean. You have a wrong notion in this regard. Who has? Sankhya has a wrong notion in this regard. Who says? Vedanta. River merging into ocean, we can conceive of, because river originate thousands of miles away. Rivers originating in the Ganges, in the Himalayas, go all the way to Ganges, to the Bay of Bengal to merge. And ocean is somewhere, river merges ultimately. So you think world is somewhere and it goes and merges with Brahman somewhere else. This is not so. World was never away from Brahman for it to merge into Brahman. World was never away from Brahman for it to merge into Brahman. There is no question of world merging into Brahman at all. And therefore, I need not explain it at all. Who says? Vedanti. There is the need to explain or not to explain a non-existent merger of the world into Brahman. World is always located in Brahman. Either in unmanifest form or in manifest form. If you have to understand this clearly, we have an example also for you. Vedantin says to Sankhya, when we say pot merges into clay, please tell me where is the merger? Can you say clay merges into clay? You cannot say, since there is only one clay. And where is the question of clay merging with clay? Can you say, okay, the pot nama rupa merges into clay? This we cannot accept. Nama rupa merging with clay as though nama rupa is somewhere else and it decided to come to the clay with a view to merge. Nama rupa merges into clay because nama rupa is located in clay only. Before creation of pot, pot nama rupa was located in clay in lump form as clay. Sphere is nothing but the potential aspect of all geometrical forms. Pot nama rupa, name and form, was in potential form before pot came into existence and takes the manifest form of pot when the pot is made. Pot nama rupa exists after the creation of pot also. Nama rupa need not merge and it is ever in the clay in manifest or unmanifest form. Then where is the question of explaining the merger? The pot is created means the potential pot has become the manifest pot. That is all creation. It is only transformation. The part is created means the potential part has become the manifest part. When part is broken, part loses its name as part, and form, it loses the form and becomes one with clay. So the cycle of part making and breaking, and then part making and breaking, and clay becoming the part and the part becoming clay, it is a cycle, it's a cyclical process. The nama rupa always exists in manifest or unmanifest form. Nama rupa always is there in the clay. In the same way, the entire world, prapancha, is located in Brahman, either in manifest form or in unmanifest form. There is no question of world merging into Brahman at the time of pralayam. And in fact, the manifest world becomes unmanifest at the time of pralayam, and unmanifest world becomes manifest at the time of creation. That is all. Therefore, there is no difficulty in explaining pralayam and creation. Unmanifest jivas become manifest jivas at the time of creation. Unmanifest karmas become manifest karmas. Manifest jiva and the world become unmanifest at the time of pralaya. And for this re-manifestation also, we have got an example. Drishtanta bhavat. Drishtanta is there for the so-called merging of part into clay. And for the clay becoming a part, we have an example in the 6th chapter, 9th section, shlokas 2 and 3 in Chandogya Upanishad. We have seen this. Te yatha tatra na vivekam labante amushyaham vrikshasya rasaha asmi ityevameva kalu somyam ima sarva prajaha sati sampadya na viduhum sati sampadyamah iti. Taiha vyagrovam, simhovam, brukhovam, varahovam, ketovam, patangovam, dagumshovam, mashakovam, yadyad bhavanti, tada bhavanti. What this shloka says is that we are born again and again till we overcome our ignorance, mula vidya, and attain self-knowledge. Death for an ignorant person is what? It's not liberation. It is like going to sleep only every day. One dies and wakes up again. And when you are reborn, it is as if you are waking up. Each one dies again and again and again and again and reborn again and again. This goes on until a person attains self-knowledge. And once you know the self, you are free and free from the cycle of birth and death. The entire world resolves into Brahman. And when jivas wake up, the entire world comes into being. If you say the world never merges with Brahman, then how do you differentiate Srishti and Pralayam? World is never away from Brahman. How do you explain creation resolution? When you say world is located in Brahman, it is figuratively said that the world has merged into Brahman. It is figurative. But the world is supposed to have merged with Brahman when world is in unmanifest form. And we use the expression merger, and when the world is in unmanifest form, it is not perceptible. And it is taken as though merged into Brahman at the time of pralaya. World takes the unmanifest form and it is not visible to us, and we know that whatever is invisible is taken as though non-existent. During creation also, the world is located in Brahman only, but in manifest form. But during pralaya, the world is again located in Brahman only, but now it is in an unmanifest form which is invisible to us. Whether the world is in unmanifest form or manifest form, when world is in manifest form, we are able to see the individuality. Distinctions. Clay is common both in Srishti and Sthiti Kale. And Nama Rupa is there in unmanifest form, in resolution also, and in manifest form in Srishti. So in Srishti Kala, world is manifest in manifest form. In Sthiti Kala also, it is in manifest form. But in Pralayakala, world is in unmanifest form. In Srishtikala, the manifest form or the Namarupa plays a dominant role. And we call it a part or whatever it is. And when in Pralaya resolution, we say clay is there because clay dominates. While part Namarupa is not seen. Now also, Brahman is there and Brahman is overshadowed by Namarupas of the world. In Pralayakale, Namarupa is overshadowed by Brahman with Namarupa missing. Whether it is Srishti or Layam, Namarupa is there. And in Srishti, it is in manifest form. And in Pralaya, it is in unmanifest form. One thing we should notice, in both the states, Adhishthanam is Brahman alone. In both the states, manifest or unmanifest, Adhishthanam support is Brahman only. And when it is manifest form, we are able to experience it. And when it is in unmanifest form, it is invisible. And it's not available for experience. Where is the question of merger? This is what Vedantin asked Sankhyas. If you say the world is always located in Brahman, whether it is Srishti, Sthiti or Laya, will not impurity of the world taint Adhishthana Brahman? You may ask. If world is always in Brahman, then will not Brahman become impure because of the effect of association, associationship, we can call it. That also is not there because it is like asking the question, will not the pot taint the clay or will not the wave pollute the ocean? There is no question of polluting the Brahman. Effects do not exist as separate entity to pollute the cause. Pot cannot affect clay because pot does not exist separate from clay. World cannot affect Brahman because world cannot remain separate from Brahman. Mithya world cannot affect Satyam Brahman. Mithya snake cannot affect the Satyam rope. Mithya fire in the dream cannot burn the Satyam waker. The dream rain does not wet the waker for him to wipe his head. Therefore, what is Vedanti cosmology now? Satyam Brahman is there and Mithya world is there. And the Mithya world is in unmanifest form during Pralayam and manifest during Srishti. And again goes back to unmanifest, manifest cycle. Avyaktatyaktaya sarvaha prabhavantyaha ragame. Ratriagame praliyante tatraiva vyakta sanyake. Krishna said, it will continue on and on and on and on. And at no time, the mithya world will pollute Satyam Brahman because the world is mithya. There is no question of duality, Dvaitam also, because mithya cannot be counted along with Satyam Brahman. This we have explained many times. There is a question of Dvaitam also. Just as the dream yearnings, for example, cannot be added to my bank balance. So punaha utpatti of the world also is explained now. And in the case of a jnani, because of his knowledge, self-knowledge, his karmas are destroyed. And his karmas, they do not go to potential condition. His karmas are burned or destroyed. That is the power of jnani. Therefore, jnani does not have rebirth. Whereas Ajnani's karma goes to potential form at the time of Playam and there is rebirth, Punarjanma. Kaivalya Upanishad, there is a beautiful saying. Punascha janmantara karma yogat sayeva jiva swapititta prabuddhaham puratraye kridati yascha jivaham satastu jatam sakalam vichitram adharam anandam akhanda bodham yasmin layam yati puratrayanchadam. Everything is clean. There is no problem with Vedanti cosmology at all. This is the answer. Now we will come to the word analysis of the sutra. Natu. Natu means it's never improper, but we have to add Vedantic teaching. We have to supply the words. Vedantic teaching is never improper. Natu. Drishtanta bhavat. There are examples to validate that. So it is never improper. Now let us see, this is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. Tu is in the meaning of emphasis here. Na tu, tu is emphasis. Na means not. Na eva means never. So drishtanta bhavate means drishtanta means example. and bhava is the availability. So there is no question of merging into clay. Part was, part is, and part ever will be located in clay in manifest or unmanifest form. And what is the second example? The sleep example is given to show that whatever has gone to unmanifest form in pralayam is prone to become manifest in creation. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a very, very powerful mantra. Atra pita apita bhavati, mata amata, loka alokaha, deva devaha, vedo avedaha. Even Veda becomes Aveda. Atra stenaha astenaha bhavati, prunaha abhrunaha, chandalo achandalaha, polkaso apolkasaha, shramanaha ashramanaha, tapaso atapasaha, ananvagatam punyena, ananvagatam papena, tirnohi tada sarvan chokan hridayasya bhavati. All these people, sinner, saint, all of them, everyone has merged. And because of the merger, do not get frightened about waking up. The next day, everyone will wake up as usual. For this, Chandogya Upanishad gives another nice example. When a lion goes to sleep and wakes up, it wakes up as what? Not as something else, as a cat. It wakes up as a lion. Taiha vyagrova, sikam simhova, rukova, varahova, ketova, padangova, dagumshova, mashakova, yadjad bhavanti tada bhavanti. So if a mosquito goes to sleep, it will wake up as mosquito only. Therefore, pralayam also is explained. Srishti also is explained. There is no question of merger, and world is in manifest and unmanifest condition, always in Brahman. And there is no question of world polluting Brahman, because mithya world cannot pollute satyam Brahman. And how do you say that world is mithya? That's another important question. For that question, the answer comes in Arambana Adhikaranam that we are going to say, which is one of the crucial Adhikaranams. Tat anyatvam arambana shabdadibhyah is the sutra. We are going to see that in detail, where we will show how the world is mithya. Now let us go to the next sutra. Swapaksha doshachya. Swapaksha doshachya. This is the 10th sutra. Second chapter, first section, 10th sutra. 144th running Brahma Sutra. First let us see the general analysis. So Sankhya charged logical fallacy of Vedanta. Tarka virodaha, logical fallacy. This was done in Sutra 8. And Vedantins, they defended his teaching, saying that these logical fallacies are not there in Vedanta, in Sutra 9, by giving defensive arguments. Now in the 10th Sutra, Vyasacharya, instead of defending, he takes an offensive approach. And he points out that the logical fallacies mentioned by you Sankhya, are not there in Vedanta, and in fact, they are all very much there in your Sankhya philosophy. He pushes it back on them. Therefore, now Vedantin charges Sankhya with all the logical fallacies which itself Vedantin learned from the Sankhya only. And he throws them all at him. And how does the Vedantin does this? Swami Dhan Swami, he gives a nice example. If you are a weak person, never attack a strong person with a stick. If you are a weak person, never, Swami says, as an example, if you are a weak person, never attack a strong person with a stick. Why? Because the strong person himself does not have a stick. He would have used only his hand to hit you perhaps. But now he gets a free stick, and he will hit you hard with the stick that you yourself gave him. Likewise, the weakling Sankhya comes to the strong Vedantin with the stick of logical fallacies, and the Vedantin takes the same fallacies and fallacy stick and hits him very hard. That is the Swapaksha Doshachya Sutra. And how he does? He says, Vedantin says, now let us see how Sankhya will explain pralaya, that is karyam merging with karana. how Sankhya, you asked about our merging with all that, Brahman. Now say how your karyam will merge into karma. Vedantin asked the Sankhya, what is your definition of pralaya? And the Sankhya says, it is very simple. The world dissolving into prakriti or pradhanam is pralayam. Now the Vedantin asks, how will you explain the merger of world into prakriti? You ask me, how do I explain the merger of world into Brahman? Now you tell me, how will you explain the merger of world into prakriti? And according to Sankhya philosopher, prakriti is free from all attributes of shabda, sparsha, rupa and all that. And he says prakriti is shabdadi rahitam and says world is shabdadi sahitam. World is endowed with shabda, sparsha, rupa and all that thing. And now the Vedantin asks, shabdadi sahitam world merges with shabdadi rahitam prakriti. If it has to do that, there could be only three possibilities. What are those? One is both will become shabdadi rahita. If world merges with prakriti, both can become shabdadi rahita. Or both can become shabdadi sahita. Or both can retain their individuality. These are the three possibilities. And Vedantin says, whatever be the option you take, you will have a problem. And whatever problem you charged me with will become your problem now. Suppose both of them become shabdadi rahitam, free of all attributes. The problem will be that the next creation will not be possible. Because they all merge without any attributes. Next creation, the world has to have attributes, but there is no attribute. Because creation means shabda, sparsha are required. In merger, they are all disappeared. Therefore, at the end of the pralaya, everyone will get mukti. So, jnanam will become redundant. Jnana vayyatta prasanga doshaha. This is called jnana vayyatta prasanga doshaha. Jagat anutpatti prasanga doshaha will come. Then what is the second option? Sankhya has to say, both will become shabdadi sahita, endowed with all these attributes. Shabda, sparsha, rupa and all that, shabdadi. And here also the problem will be their contention that prakriti will always be without shabdadi. Prakriti has no attributes according to them. That contention will be contradicted. But their contention, you can't contend in prakriti shabdadi rahitam, which they have to give up due to the second option. Therefore, swapaksha tyagaha, that will come. They have to renounce swapaksha their side. Namely, prakritehe shabdati sahitatva doshaha will come. So to avoid these two issues, if you take the third option, namely at the pralayam, prakriti and prapancha retain their individuality, if you say, then what will be our charge? If both of them maintain their individuality, where is the question of merger? Where is the difference between srishti and pralaya at all? There is no merger. You both of them have to maintain individuality. In fact, pralayam will be only a word without any distinct meaning. Pralaya will only be a word. Pralaya abhava prasangat. Therefore, Sankhya cannot explain the pralayam at all. And if Sankhya has got dosha of inexplicability of pralayam, then Sankhya has no right to charge us with the same dosha. What is in your cupboard? There is a nyaya. There's a general rule here. Suppose someone asks you, why are you telling lies? Somebody asks you a question, why are you telling lies? And you know that this person tells more lies than you. What will be your answer? You will never say, why I am telling lie at all. You won't say all that. But you will ask him back, who are you to charge me with lies when you yourself tell worse lies than me? That will be the natural reaction. Therefore, we have a nyaya in debate or argument. In the Shastra, Nyaya Shastra, there is a shloka which says, yatro bhayo samo doshaha pariharascha tatsamaha naika paryanuyoktavyaha. Tadrigarte vicharane. when two debaters, two people who argue, they have got the same dosha or similar defect, samo doshaha, in a particular area, in a particular field or context, then the understanding is what? One should not talk about that particular defect to the other, of his defect, also in the same field. Why? Because I don't have any voice to talk about the defect, because my own system of philosophy is tainted by the same defect. I also have the same dosha. How can I talk about your dosha? If I say that this defect does not matter, then the Purvapaksha also has the same defect. Why do you charge him? And suppose I have got a solution for this defect, then the other person will say, whatever be your solution, that is a solution for mine also. Therefore, if two people have got samadosha, then the rule is what? Do not talk about the dosha at all. For example, if two people smoke, one cannot tell the other, you should not smoke. Therefore, if pralaya is inexplicable, according to Vedanta, our take is pralaya is inexplicable with respect to Sankhya also. Therefore, Sankhya has no right to talk of my defect. This is an offensive answer. It is a different question whether or not I am able to answer. That is another question. But you have no right to talk about the dosha. That is what Vyasacharya says here, Swapaksha dosha cha. And Sankhyas cannot charge me with respect to this defect. This is the general analysis of this particular sutra. Now let us see the word meaning. The sutra is what? Swapaksha dosha cha. Since the above mentioned fallacies are there in Sankhya's own teaching, is there any issue with the audio?
No, Guruji, we can hear you clearly.
I saw somebody making some this thing gesture, so I just wanted to find out. Okay, you are able to hear. Good. So the first, let us see the word meaning. Sutra is what? Swapaksha dosha cha. Since the above mentioned fallacies are there in Sankhya's own teaching also, the Vedantic teaching is not improper. That's a claim. That means what? Sankhya has no right to charge Vedantin with this defect, since the same defect also Sankhya has. Now let us look at the significance of the words. Yeah, running meaning is okay, but significance is important. Swapaksha doshat, it is a compound word consisting of three words. Swa plus paksha plus dosha. Swa means one's own, his own. That is Purvapakshi's own. And swapaksha means Purvapakshi's own teaching. Swapaksha. And here Purvapaksha, who is the Purvapaksha here? Sankhya is the Purvapaksha. So swapaksha means Sankhya darshanam. Sankhya darshanam is a swapaksha. And dosha is fallacy or defect. And what are the defects kept in mind here? The three defects have already been enumerated in Sutra 8, which we saw in detail, which were charged on the Vedantin, and the same defects are in Sankhya darshanam also. Cha means also. Because of this reason also. And now why this chakara also? We have to carefully note the significance, because each letter is a very important thing in a sutra. I have mentioned the significance of this cha. For example, suppose person X tells a lie, and someone asks X, why are you telling lie? Then X should have an answer. Now, instead of explaining the mistake, X just tells, who are you to tell me? Because you are also a liar. And X sends him out or throws him out. Then certainly X has escaped from this situation. Yes. But still X has not solved the problem. X has to answer the question, at least for his own sake. Otherwise his conscience cannot be clear. Since if someone else asks the same question, who is not really a liar, who is really a Satyavantaha? If you ask him the question, he cannot tell him, you are a liar also. And therefore, when this defect is there in both, I may tell that you should not charge me with this defect, which is only an escapist answer and not a real answer. Therefore, yatro bayo samo doshaha is only an escapist answer. I have only said that defect is equal to both Vedanta and Sankhya. But still the problem is, namely, both darshanam, Sankhya darshanam and Vedanta darshanam, both have got common defect. And therefore, we should give an answer also. And then say that those defects are not there in my darshan. Either Sankhya has to say that or Vedantin has to say that. Till such time, there is no resolution to the problem. That parihara is the real parihara. That will be only the real solution, which has been already given in Sutra 9. So Sutra 10 gives the escapist parihara. That is, you are not better than me. That kind of approach, as an offensive approach, maybe Vyasacharya got really a kind of frustrated with the Sankhya. So he wants to go offensive on him, even though the answer is already given in Sutra 9. So what's the real answer? This is given in the 9th Sutra, and the answer is, I don't have any defect, whereas Sankhya has got the defect. That is the answer. And to indicate these two pariharas alone, the chakara is used. So we are trying to understand why dosha chat, that chakara, why it is used, is for this reason, to indicate these two pariharas only. And the escapist parihara is called yatro bayo samo dosha nyayaha. That is a name also for that nyaya. For the escapist parihara, it is called yatro bayo, yatra ubayoho samo dosha nyayaha. With this, the 10th sutra is also over. We will see the 11th sutra tomorrow. यो वेदादौ स्वर प्रोक्तो वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रकृतिलीनस्य यः परसमहेश्वरः पूर्णमद पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् कृष्णार्पणमस्तु